You're listening to the Star Wars Report's coverage of Celebration 6. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in. This is episode 63 of the Star Wars Report, and this is where our Celebration 6 coverage continues. This is an Anthony Daniels spectacular episode. You guys are in for a treat. My name is Riley Blanton, and I am super pleased with what we've got for you guys tonight. I'm actually thrilled. Last week, I said it was possibly the most excited I've ever been for a Star Wars Report podcast episode. Well, I may have just topped it. We interview the one, the only, Anthony Daniels. C-3PO himself. It's one of those times, really, where you realize this is actually happening. Because when we started the Star Wars Report podcast, I still get into a mode of, oh, well, we're just fans talking about that galaxy far, far away each and every week. And we just enjoy talking to friends about it. But it's one of those times, well, surely something like this could never happen. But in fact, it did. The year was 2012. We were, in fact, going through the, I want to call it Walk of Fame. I'm confusing Dragon Con and Celebration. We wanted to get a last look at the exhibit hall at Celebration. It was the last day, Sunday, and it was going to close in about an hour or two. We were closing out some interviews that we were doing, and I'll tell you what, it was sad. It was the last day, and everybody's kind of winding down, both actually and emotionally. Things are coming to an end, and Bethany was with me. We were in the official picks area, and she looked over, and we had just finished our interview with Daniel Logan. That will be coming up a little bit later. Not in this podcast, but very soon in the Star Wars Report podcast feed. But Bethany came up and came up to me after we'd been walking through this area and said, "You know what? Anthony Daniels' line is down." And at first, I didn't really believe her. I thought it was some kind of prank because Anthony Daniels had stayed extremely busy. In fact, they have the main autograph area of tables of guests who are the, for lack of a better term, the normal guests. I hate to put it that way, but that's essentially the way they've organized it, to where they have large guests. And then in one specific area in the back, they have these ominous and almost threatening dark blackish curtains that obscure the stars that are within those dark curtains, and one does not know what goes on behind the dark curtains when one goes in for the autograph. Well, I might be a little bit more ominous than I meant it to be, but you guys get the idea. That's Anthony Daniels, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher. That's where they would be signing. Ian McDiarmid, and that way they get a little bit of privacy and they have much longer queue lines because they expect those guests to have longer lines. But there was Anthony Daniels, and there were about five or six people in line. And you guys got to realize that there are usually 20 to 30 people in these lines. And so when I see two or three people, Bethany taps me on the shoulder and says, "Well, let's go." And I you know, being myself, I was hesitant. Well, I don't know if I could do it. It's because it's one of those times where you get intimidated again, and I'm not sure if I want to go up and ask Mr. Daniels for an interview, because he's a lively fellow. He's had some fun. I've heard interviews with him. He's likes to have some fun with interviewers. There's some people that you will interview, and you guys will hear this sometimes, where you just get the canned answers and they try to get it over with 5 minutes. Anthony Daniels is not one of those people. Anthony Daniels will actually have a conversation, and I think it was one of the highlights of my life. It's not on audio, but right when we finished the interview, I was enormously humbled. that Anthony Daniels said to us something, I'll paraphrase, but something to the effect of he really enjoyed our interview and had a better time than he thought he would, because he explained to us that sometimes people interview him and ask the silliest questions or the most repetitive questions ever. And we don't really, and we didn't do that, as you guys will hear in the upcoming interview. We really got to talk to him about really his panel and the way he interacted with Star Wars fans at Celebration. What's his life like coming to something like Celebration 6? So that was a surreal moment for me, having Anthony Daniels compliment us for the interview. Again, one of those times like, is this really, this isn't supposed to be happening to me, you know, but nevertheless it did. And it went so well. And we have to thank the Official Picks volunteers who were at his booth, who were very kind to us. We didn't set up a huge media, interview, even though we were media, we didn't schedule an interview in a media room or something like that. It was just him having some spare time at the last day. And that really, I think, is what worked best overall. So, oh my goodness, I have to thank the Official Picks volunteers who helped us and talked to Anthony Daniels and his handler and organized it, and we conducted it real quickly. So huge shout out to those guys. Again, Anthony was very kind to us, but the interview is not the only thing in this podcast. In fact, coming up after the interview, even though it's kind of chronologically out of order, we talk about it in the interview, which is why I'm playing it. Good 35 minutes or so of his panel, highlights from his panel at Star Wars Celebration. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking to you guys back in our daily podcast episodes, that we have a ton of content that we're still releasing from Celebration and Dragon Con. So if not, you guys, I strongly encourage you to go back to the feed and download our daily podcast episodes that were from both Dragon Con and from Star Wars Celebration, because that's a really fun way to kind of share the experience with us. If you haven't had a chance to listen to those, you definitely should go back and listen to them. Which reminds me, a couple to-do list items to get out of the way quickly. Our writers are continuing to do excellent work over at StarWarsReport.com. Aaron Goins has a post up, and as you guys listen to this, probably, as you, we'll have some listeners listening to this while the season 5 premiere of the Clone Wars is happening. But while you guys are listening to this, Aaron Goins, one of our writers, has a fantastic article up entitled 17 Clone Wars Episodes, Essential Clone Wars Episodes to Watch Before the Season 5 Premiere. For you guys who haven't been keeping up with the Clone Wars quite as religiously as I have, it's a great way to find what are the relevant and best episodes from the past Clone Wars seasons to lead up into the Clone Wars Season 5 premiere. I wanted to definitely give him a nod. I also wanted to say, speaking of podcast, I have just fixed on the website. I've been wanting to do it for forever, but I have fixed, fingers crossed, the iTunes feed to where you guys should be able to go back and download directly from iTunes all 60, now 63 podcasts of the Star Wars Report. So that includes everything from, if you're a recent listener, last year's Dragon Con. Wow, we've got some amazing stuff. We've interviewed a bunch of Battlestar Galactica cast. We've interviewed Clone Wars cast back in the days. Fun discussions of times in times gone by. I say that like it was forever ago. But yeah, you can go back and check those out, which is awesome, because iTunes and the way we had it set up before, you could only download the most recent 10 episodes, and I'd gotten more than one or two notifications, complaints maybe, but it just proves that you guys are listening and interested. So we've gotten a number of heads up about that fact that only 10 episodes display from iTunes, and it's a pain to go back to the website and have to download it manually and try to transfer it onto your MP3 player of choice. So now it's right there in iTunes. And that's something else I wanted to mention as well, while we're doing a couple minutes of cleanup. Be sure, if you guys are iOS users, if you don't know this, iTunes has a dedicated podcasts app that you can download from the App Store, which is a really great systematic way to subscribe to the podcast, the Star Wars Report, and all the other StarWarsReport.com podcasts, the Wampus Lair, Star Wars Beyond the Films, our Expanded Universe show. Be sure to, if you download that, that's a really good way. And hey, while you're at it, once you've downloaded the podcast app, shoot us a quick review on iTunes, review or rating. We always appreciate those. It lets other people know that you enjoy the show, and it's a good way to shoot up in the rankings a little bit, let more people know about the Star Wars Report. And it's a good way of thanking us for what we do here on the podcast. That's
awesome. That would be so kind of you. So kind.
Oh, my goodness. So now I'm realizing as I do these traditional openings to podcast episodes, they always go way, way longer than I expect them to. And I'm already running at 10 minutes. Riley, you're crazy. But I do want to say, coming up after our Anthony Daniels interview, in that, I talked about it briefly, in the highlights from his panel, a lot of the humor was very visual. So you kind of had to be prepared that I cut a lot of the overtly, purely visual jokes, so it's not quite so painful to listen to in audio form. But, you know, he had, just to give you guys some insight, so it's a little bit easier on the ears when you're trying to imagine it, he had his panel of experts that he brought on stage, and that was really the result of a lot of the humor that happens. And he did a dangerous thing. Anthony Daniels basically did a variety show that was purely impromptu. It was just improv. It was comedic. It was touching. I laughed. I cried. It moved me, Bob. To do a VeggieTales reference. But yeah, it's funny because there's one point in the audio I left it in, but listen for it. The crowd's actually kind of turns a little bit and boos at one or two points, but it was a very raw kind of atmosphere, and it took some guts from Anthony Daniels to do that. I mean, he hardly talked about C-3PO in terms of that, because most of us already know all the behind-the-scenes stuff, but it's funny because in the actual recording, it's one of the, one of the visual jokes, and I just wanted to let you guys in on this. You'll hear laughter at one point when he's like, "Where did you come from?" There's this 6-year-old kid who thought that Anthony Daniels pointed at him when he was trying to get people up on stage for this variety show he was doing, and the kid actually thought that Anthony Daniels wanted him when Anthony Daniels had just kind of pointed at another guy. So he turns around and there's this other extra kid just standing on stage. And you're not exactly going to tell the poor little kid to say, "Get off my stage." And again, he runs with it. And that was an example of him being really, well, just the cool Anthony Daniels fellow that he is. There are a couple points where you'll hear us talk in the background. Bethany and I were prepared to leave the panel half an hour early. I will be honest, I was thinking, I really want to do this, but I also really want to head over to the Inside the Force Cast panel. Some of our friends were over there, and I was interested in the documentary that Sheldon, a good friend of ours that we've met through Fan Days and Celebration, Sheldon Norton, huge shout out to that guy. He's producing a documentary on the Star Wars podcasters, the Force Cast. It's called When the Galaxy Listens. In fact, don't tell anybody. It's a secret. But keep it secret. Keep it safe. He actually interviewed us for that documentary where he kind of examines the Star Wars podcasting and Star Wars podcasters in the form of the Force Cast in a really cool way where he takes it seriously and doesn't really treat it as the kind of goofy, nerdy media circus that most documentaries about Star Wars fans go. So the preview was great, but we didn't actually go. I never saw it. We didn't go to the Inside the Force Cast panel because we were having so much fun. So you'll probably hear in the background, because the digital recorder that I have with me is literally just sitting next to my right shoulder, and Bethany's sitting right next to me. So I'm trying to lean over and not let the recorder pick it up too much. I'm like, should we go? No, we're having too much fun. I don't want to go. So we just stayed for the whole panel. So you'll hear us talk in the background a little bit. I apologize. You'll hear my mumbling voice conferring with Bethany as to our con plans, but you know, that's just the way it goes. All right, so you'll hear it all. You'll hear us talking in the background. You'll hear your six-year-old kids up on stage. You'll hear the panel of experts. You'll hear crowds booing, crowds cheering. You'll hear a community of Star Wars fans. And I left a lot. There's a lot of a long applause and cheering and stuff like that. That's not necessarily the best for podcasting. At first, I was thinking, well, it might be kind of boring just to listen to 20 seconds of applause without any talking. And then I thought, well, you know what? It's part of the experience. So if you guys are interested, you know, by all means tune in or just hear our interview that's coming up right now. So yeah, without further ado, thank you for sticking with me all this time. If you haven't already fast-forwarded to the good part where Anthony Daniels talks. and without further ado, I present to you the Star Wars Report's exclusive interview with Anthony Daniels, C-3PO himself, and Daniel Faitoni, by the way. Fun fact. You guys will figure that. You guys Google that. But yeah, our exclusive interview with Anthony Daniels. Again, can't thank him enough for coming on our little show here. It's pretty cool what we can do and what we are able to share with you guys. And so thank you for tuning in and enjoy the interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our continuing coverage of Star Wars Celebration 6. And we are with the one and only C-3PO himself, Anthony Daniels. Thank you for giving us some of your time, sir.
That's a pleasure.
Yes, thanks for coming on. And the first thing I want to just ask you right out the gate is, how have you enjoyed the con? And especially, we were at your panel, sir. How did you enjoy it?
Well, you seem to
be enjoying yourself.
Well, first
a little
of
bit.
All, I've enjoyed the con a lot, partly because, well, various reasons. First of all, it's been astoundingly well organized and orchestrated by the producers of it.
That's yes. Mm-hmm.
Lucasfilm and the Reed Group, I think. And the other thing is, all of the fans have been just so nice and welcoming and kind of well behaved and thrilled to be here and full of praise and just make you feel very good, you know.
Good.
Well,
good.
They were certainly thrilled to see you at the panel. That's what I
yes.
brought to because a lot of our listeners are very familiar with your work as C-3PO and even outside that, but you've really been able to do Star Wars in concert now. And now I had heard about your show that you did at C2E2. And I heard I couldn't miss this one, and I certainly couldn't. Where did the genesis of kind of taking your history with Star Wars, but really reinventing what's a typical convention panel of? So, what was it like playing C-3PO?
Well, you're exactly right. I have a horror, and I've seen this so many times. And in fact, I've changed it around a lot over the years. If you come in and there's a platform and there's a table on it with a microphone between you, and so you go behind the table. There's a barrier instantly. Then you have, so, does anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
So was it hot in the costume? yes, it was. You know, all that goes on. So I really try and deconstruct it. And my object of late has been to involve the audience, the fans, as much as possible. You know, enough of seeing me and Carrie and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I aim to get people included. And, of course, that means they've got to be willing.
Yes,
and the other night you saw that they were willing.
Oh, yes.
And there were a couple of guys, you know, the Danny, I think, was the guy suddenly in a 3PO costume, or part of a 3PO costume. It was wonderful.
This is true.
And then a little kid who thought I was pointing at him to come up on stage when I wasn't. So I turned around, suddenly there's a kid there, and it's called improv, really.
Yes.
And that's what I think made it so unique, because as Star Wars fans, and especially in an environment like this, we've heard a lot of the questions, we really enjoy it, but I really liked the way that people can poke fun at themselves, and you're willing to actually just enjoy it and just have some fun
totally.
In an environment where instead of just being too worried about, too reverent.
Yeah. No, I'm very unreverential. One of the nice things is that Star Wars in itself has become less reverential. Finally, I know they could announce detours.
Yes.
I've been keeping that secret for about a year.
I know. Now that it's finally out of the bag, I'd love to ask you, how long have you been working on it? Has it been a different 3PO?
Oh, well, it's the most fun poking you've ever seen. You know,
yes.
If you think Robot Chicken, etc., was funny, some of these were real. Normally, I kind of do a lot of rewrites on the stuff I get. I think mm-hmm. I changed one word on this. It was so...
Oh, wow.
But it's like really naughty. It's, it, totally poking fun. Yeah. Which just shows that you can do this out of fondness. You know, nobody's hurt, nobody's insulted. It's just very funny. And I'm proud to say I'm a part of it now. Two or three episodes, I can't remember. It's been so long. And I don't want to even tell you much more about it because I want you to enjoy.
I know. We want to save the surprise, I'm sure.
Save the surprise. But I loved it. What I did like about doing my little presentation was the audience was so willing to come along with me. Mm-hmm. You know, if they all sat there with their arms folded and going, make me laugh, it wouldn't have been so good. So, yeah. And I would have felt lonely.
Well, we certainly enjoyed it.
Do you have a favorite part about these conventions? Something that you particularly enjoy?
Well, yes, I do, actually. Quite literally. It's particularly, well, children and adults who have made a costume out of brown paper, cardboard, gaffer tape, duct tape, who've made a costume rather than... There have been some stupendously wonderful R2-D2 dresses on some of the girls. They just made them. Little sort of caricatures of the characters. You see kids in cardboard boxes painted up to represent a stormtrooper. So inventive. And the whole diorama thing way over there, this huge scenic display. A lot of cardboard, a lot of foam core and all that kind of thing. The creativity, way better than buying something off a shelf. Please, everybody come next year in cardboard boxes.
Yes, yes.
So that's probably one of the highlights. There have been some gorgeous self-made costumes and people also performing in them, people who don't just like put on a thing, a cloak and go,
really get into character.
Jenny, you have to. Costume doesn't do it all. Yes. As I know.
I was going to say, if there's anyone who knew something about it would be you.
Yes.
And it's become this whole kind of culture underneath of cosplaying and getting into character.
First time I saw it, you know, 30-something years ago, I thought, how weird these people dress up. And then I thought, well, I do it for a living. At least they're doing it for fun, you know.
Yes.
It's true. Well, you've been doing detours. You've also been voicing 3PO in the Clone Wars. And it's kind of almost a running joke in that you really embrace the character of 3PO and really
very
own
much so.
The role.
Right.
And has that been something you've been very intentional about, or it's just kind of come to you?
Well, it's sort of organic, you know. Okay. 3PO, I'm very fond of 3PO, and I think he's quite fond of me in a funny sort of way. But people, it's not just the voice, that it's the whole personality, his whole personality. It's not my personality, but it is his. So I'm kind of the bag carrier, if you like. I have his personality in a suitcase. And I regularly say, well, he actually wouldn't say that. He might say this, you know.
And that's I think what gives him such a consistent character arc of where so many of the other Star Wars characters, either the characters themselves change or the actor changes and has a different take on it.
Yes.
We see that in the Clone Wars a lot, but you really own the role, and I think that's very special. It's certainly an iconic role and certainly an iconic actor. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know you've got a number of people in line behind you, so
Before I go, just mention.
Yes.
Yeah, there are two things probably out of all, you know, I'm the only person to be in all six movies, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But there are two things, Star Wars in Concert, which has been in this area and across America a couple of times, across Europe, just been in Japan. Wonderful. But then there is at Disney here and in Anaheim, Star Tours.
Yes.
And that is the other great, great gift that I've been given by being in the Star Wars franchise, that the new Star Tours. And I am taking a group of students there tomorrow.
Oh,
it's just gorgeous. Anybody who hasn't been from the Dave School of Animation.
We have to go. I know. We just came to Orlando and haven't had a chance yet.
It is a stunning piece of artistic engineering. It's well, you have to go see it.
We'll see it for ourselves.
And, of course, the main thing is that C-3PO is the pilot. Oh, my! And, of course, anybody less likely to be a pilot on a great adventure. So that's a dynamic in its own self.
Yes.
So long after I'm gone, I know my footprints will be outside the Chinese theater, and the films will be up in the ether there, and the cartoon films up in the ether, and Star Tours. You know, the last one ran for 22 years, I think.
Yeah,
so 22 years from now, I don't think I'm going to be around. Or if I am, I'm not going to be too happy. So that is my epitaph.
Well, it's quite a legacy.
It's good. I feel good about it.
Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts and your research and your knowledge. Really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Where is everybody? Here. Hello. I am C-3PO Human Cyborg Relations. I am C-3PO Human Cyborg Relations, and facilities are at you. Well, really. Ah! many languages do you speak? I am fluent in 6 million forms of communication and can barely explain.
I suppose you're programmed for etiquette and protocol.
Protocol? Why, it's my primary function, sir. I am well versed in all the customs.
I have no need for a protocol drive.
Sir, might I suggest that you... Just wait. I'm not sure this floor is entirely spirit. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight dog priest. Wait! Stop!
I'm typical.
The possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Of course I can, sir. It's like a second language to me. I'm a spirit.
All right, sir.
Let the bookie with you.
Thanks. I have protocol droids, my own wife.
What? Oh no.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from a galaxy far, far away, I bring you a man among droids. A man who is the unmistakable voice of a droid. A man who could be the ultimate droid shrink. Because he's been inside the head of a droid for over 35 years. And it's that man who I'm sure would love it if you got on your feet and clapped and cheered until you needed medical attention.
Stage yet, so can we keep the applause going? Just kidding. Thank you so much. What a lovely welcome. Thank you. Welcome to It Said an Hour with Anthony Daniels. It may seem longer. Okay. Because you know, one of the things, there was a little boy earlier who was watching me sign an autograph, and he was kind of twitching, and I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I'm nervous." And I shared with him my feelings of nerves. My feelings of being very soon locked in a room with 2,500 crazed Star Wars fans. without any idea what I was going to talk about. So I thought what would be interesting, since you are probably... Is there a Star Wars... who knows more about Star Wars than me? Yes? What's your name? Jazz? You're a little scary, Jazz. So we will we'll think about you in a minute. Who else knows? Jazz knows. Yes? What? You're wearing Yoda ears and an original T-shirt. So what are you? Tell me something I don't know about Star Wars. Oh dear, that's one of my lines. Okay, that was good. Oh dear, no, it's oh no, isn't it? Who, somebody here knew a lot. Are you okay? Is this microphone fully functional? Oh, it's you that's not fully functional. Right, okay, I'll blame the microphone. What, do you know about Star Wars? Yeah, is this me or the mic? No, it's you. Right, well, tell me something interesting about Star Wars. Alderaan was not the first planet to be destroyed by the Death Star. True or false? Really, you are geeks, aren't you? I mean, I have no idea. Right, what do you want to talk about? Who's got an idea? Yes, sir. Boba Fett really didn't die in the Sarlacc pit. I'm sorry. I was there. I was there. Yuma, Arizona. Oh, no, this is what kind of way we are. I can't remember. Who is an expert over here? Who's an expert? Okay. There's somebody pointing over here. Young lady, you're not an expert. Seriously, right. Come on. Oh, come in. Don't be shy. Yeah, what's your name? Jimmy, come on, Jimmy. I want you to go up on stage, Jimmy. Up you go. Where's Jimmy? I can't be alone up there. You're there, get moving. Go and stand on stage. Jesus. Right. Who else is a Star Wars expert? Okay, why? Tell me something interesting.
Boba Fett's name was named as Jason Morrell in the expanded universe.
Wow, you'd better come up on stage, so that is amazing. I mean, you can't fit, you know, on anything. Oh, you're kind of cute. You're clutching something green. Oh, sorry, it's a Yoda, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I recognize him all over the place. We need somebody else. Where are you? Up on stage. That's good. Who else is a Star Wars expert? Young lady, yo, come here. Up you go. Yeah. Change your medication, honey, okay? It's like... Okay. You run the trivia contest, then you can sit there and be a judge. Okay. Yes! Oh, the twins, come on, girls. Up you go. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, I give you your panel of experts. Okay. Come on, hurry up. Why are you running the other way? Is this like a challenge thing? Oh, you're good. Right, okay. Okay, what's your name?
Ty.
What's your name?
Jimmy.
What's your name?
Kurt.
Huh?
Kurt.
Oh, I thought you were burping or something.
Kurt. Yes.
Kurt, right. Oh, is this something to do with Clone Wars? I mean, what? What's your name?
Jessica.
Megan.
Marion. You changed your name. Some people just cannot concentrate, you know what I mean? So it's a little challenging. Right, and that's, look at them. They've all got microphones now. I love it. There's, okay, one more. Okay, what, have we got a hand, another hand?
This place is going down.
Hurry up! Okay, we'll quickly cut away to a commercial break. What I thought we would do is just discuss with the audience things you want to hear about, because I could bore you senseless with things I want to talk about. Anybody got a question? Oh, wait a minute. Think of a question. Because there's another one. Hello? Where did you come from? You better... Hold that. What's your name?
Tyler.
Were you here before?
Yes.
Oh, right. Do you know what jet lag does to a human being? I'm going to lose your names unless we're very careful, so... just write your names here, okay? Like a quiz show, look. Pass those amongst you. But we know his name, for God's sake. I mean, anybody? Just work with me here. I can't do it all. And the film's so easy, it's all edited, you know what I mean? But here is live. Well, ish. Right. This is like one of those strange alter ego moments, isn't it? Yes. She is offering you a pen. Okay. Turn this way. He's gone! Terrible! We've got robots, we've got children, and we've got rogue cameraman right now. What's your question? And then I break up. Look, what's your question?
Why didn't Uncle Owen recognize you in episode 4?
Why didn't
Uncle Owen?
Well. Okay, panel of experts. Raise your hand if you know why Uncle Owen did not recognize his C-3PO in episode 4. Yes, in the middle. What's your name?
Kirk. Because George Lucas...
No, we haven't got that bit yet. What's your name? Hold it up, I need to see it. Clip it onto your badges there. 3PO? Yeah, never mind. Never again. Okay, Kirk.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
Yes, answer the question. It's an hour. You've used half of it.
Because George Lucas probably didn't think about it at the time.
George Lucas didn't think about all the answers all the time. Okay, why didn't Uncle Owen... Good question. Go and sit down. Does anybody know the answer?
Because 3PO had gold plating in New Hope. He didn't have that in episode 2.
3PO... Okay! You know, there's a smart ass born every minute and somebody has to let you know about it. One of my favorite moments in Star Wars Episode 3 was in the garage in the middle of the night where Padme Amidala wandered in and found C-3PO sitting there alone. Can't you sleep either, 3PO? Well, I don't actually sleep. I just switch off for a while. Are you happy here, 3PO? Well, I'm not unhappy. I mean, the people are very, very kind. It's just being like this. Like what, 3PO? Naked, if you'll pardon the expression. And then he went on to explain that for the last 80 years of his existence, he had been naked. Here is a creature born to serve cocktails and cannabis, with his parts showing. It was tragic, and he explained that young Anakin had had to go off and become a Jedi, but he was sure that Anakin would return, but it was all very difficult. Oh my, says Padme, but there's a box of coverings right here. Oh my, I never noticed in the 18 years that I've lived in this garage, there's a box of coverings right there. You tell me George Lucas didn't think of everything. I mean, Jesus, there is a box of coverings. This must be very painful for you to hear. Right, okay. And the scene ended with Padme Amidala lifting up a chest piece and putting it... Sorry, can we demonstrate? So, Padme... What's her name? Natalie Portman. Ah! Cut that bit. Edit. Natalie Portman brings up a chest like that. Don't ever act. Sorry. And then we cut away to watch Anakin doing something or other with sand people or something. Very unpleasant. And then we cut back, and there's Natalie with 3PO's face coming straight at me. I had the eyes on, excuse me. The eyes on. And she... and she popped it on there. And 3PO was so happy, and everybody, Uncle Owen and Uncle Roo, were so pleased because there was 3PO absolutely... It's not a good look, is it? Was absolutely happy that he was complete. And then George Lucas, who we adore, in spite of that, he decided it wasn't time enough for this soul gut-wrenching moment, because we had to go and see Anakin swiping sand people left, right, and the younglings. Oh, yes. So sad. So what we then had to do was we... sit down now. It's good. What we then had to do was dress me up in the rusty thing and then go through everything that I filmed so far using blue screen because I was puppeteering this whole thing. And we changed it all, so the scene you just saw, I actually 3PO. That was actually me on green screen eventually. And sadly, you will never know about 3PO status, but it does go a little way to explaining why he's a bit odd. Yes. So there's a little story about the background. Question over here. Yes. Here we go. Yes. Okay, you've got a microphone all to yourself. Here we go.
It's not. Okay, there we go. My question is.
Get on with it. What's your name?
Megan.
Megan.
Why is there blood when the Wampa's arm comes off and when the guy and when I just forgot his name in the cantina come. Pond, there you go, that one. Why is there blood with that, but there's no blood when the hands come off?
What kind of audience is this? Well, there's been a bit of a... I have no idea. Why is there blood on something? What's your name?
Danny.
Well, never mind. Is there intelligent life over here? Come on. I have no idea. Think about it. Why is there blood? The reason there is blood in episode 4 on the floor is they slightly wanted to up... Oh, God, there's Tinkerbell. Right. they wanted to sort of butch up the ratings by having a bit of real violence, a bit of blood there. And that literally, I think, is the reason for it. Okay, intelligent question from up here. Yes. What's your name?
Peter. What planet is Daniel Faetoni? Am I pronouncing that right from? And where does he go from where we've seen him?
Panel of experts, what planet is Daniel Faetoni from? And where does he go? What planet is he from? Kirk? No, right. Yes. Where's he from? Why does... Well, okay, we're going to now... What's your name? Sam is going to change the subject because... We get rid of him. Oh, wait a minute, leave him there. Why is he a lieutenant? Why is he a lieutenant? I know the answer to it. It's one of the few bits I understand. Why is Faetoni a lieutenant? He's what? He's not a captain, he's a lieutenant. Because when I said to George Lucas, can I be in this film facially? And he went, sure. By then, all the costumes had actually been given out. So the only costume left for me was this very small blue jacket that you can see. And the arms were actually incredibly short. So Michael from Wardrobe said, that's not a problem. I just put a big gold grin on there to, like, big it up. So I got promoted because the costume was too small. Is that good? What's your name?
Shame.
Shame?
Shame.
Oh, Shame, sorry. And what's yours?
Meredith.
Meredith?
Reagan.
Okay, this is cool. We could go, shall we do everybody's name? Oh, perhaps not. Everybody after three, say your name. One, two, three. Yeah, really, that's good. Okay, right, why does Yoda disappear when he dies? Audience panel? Okay, the twins, go for it.
Because he turns into a force ghost and becomes one with the force.
Yeah.
Don't you love the one that goes, yeah. Is that right? It's the same as Alec Guinness, not Alec Guinness, what was his name? Obi-Wan, yeah. I gotta see these films again. has anybody seen Star Wars in concert? Do you realize it?
No.
Yeah? Thank you. it's very surreal. Do you realize it took Star Wars in concert to actually explain to me the story of Star Wars? I never understood it, but in a 2-hour concert, one day I hope all the rest of you can see it, it actually explains everything, it gets rid of all the stuff. You got John Williams' music and so on, and you knew that about the Force and all that kind of thing. So, have we got a second from Star Wars in concert? Let's see, if it brings back to you, we'll have a look. You know, Mark...
Please welcome Anthony Daniels.
Right.
The show needed a narrator. Anthony's been in all 6 Star Wars movies. He is C-3PO, and he's great on stage.
You don't need to say Anthony Daniels.
I don't need to say Anthony Daniels.
He can just be there.
He can just be there.
He can go about his business.
Anakin struggled deep within himself, but it was back here that he struggled. Sorry.
I can't believe I actually worked with C-3PO.
Yes! Yeah. Wow. Hey, I hope you get to see it. What's your name?
Your name is Luke. Do you have a sister?
Who's got a question? Yes!
Speak loudly, clearly, and don't bump into the furniture. Start coming through. Yes.
Why did they wipe 3PO's mind and not R2's at the end of that Revenge of the Sith?
Why did they...
And don't say this because R2 can't speak.
Very good. You know what was lovely was there we were on the set of the Tantive IV, and Jimmy Smits comes up to me today, just at the on the day, just at the end of shooting, and he says, "Anthony, I'm really upset. I have to look at the script. I have to say, you know, get the protocol droid's mind wiped." I said, "Yeah, I don't want to say that. I love 3PO, and I kind of had to explain to Jimmy that 3PO was actually as human as a washing machine, as a spin dryer, whatever, and that he mustn't have feelings like this towards a droid, dear Jimmy. I'm not sure he understands to this day. But that, do you realize that is the last line of the movie? Get the protocol droid's mind. Wait. What? Oh, no. 3 years of drama school and I get lines like, oh, no. And who has the first line of the first movie and what is it altogether? And what's the line? What's the line?
I hit the main reactor.
Could you say it with a little more intensity?
They hit the main reactor.
Could you do it in an English accent?
They hit the main reactor.
Very suave, very good. Okay. Now, why are you such a big Star Wars fan?
I don't really know.
Who's your favorite character? Sorry, who's your favorite character?
Probably Boba Fett.
I know you Roberts is
C-3PO.
And yours?
I've always been more of an R2-D2 fan myself.
Yes?
Darth Vader.
Was that you? And yours?
I like them all, but C-3PO the best.
Okay, I'm not sure about I like them all a bit. I think it's a bit sad, but I don't know. Okay, there we go. We're coming to the end of time, as it were. One question, quick. What? How does C-3PO feel about never knowing who his father really is? Sorry. No, but when I said sorry, I didn't mean just to repeat it. It's embarrassing. And after, are there people alive up there? Can you wave? Cool. How does he feel about... You know, droids don't think about their parentage very much. They think about the maker, they think whether, you know, the nuts and bolts fall together in the right way. I do say to you, when George told me about episode one, he said, you know, 3PO was created by Anakin Skywalker. And I was really pleased because I was like, yeah, this was really nice to me and so on. And 3 days later I realized it wasn't Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness was, what's his name? Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was Darth Vader. Darth Vader is his daddy. But he doesn't know. So don't tell him. Swear you won't tell him, right? You won't tell him. You promise? Everybody say, I promise. Your secret is safe. Yes, it does mean that I'm Luke's brother. Do you want to deal with it? I'm actually his half-brother, but more interestingly, of course, Padme is... No, she is. Oh, yes, Padme, that's the other one. The one with the hair. Well, they've all got hair, haven't they? What is it with George and hair? Oh, hello. Well, nice hair. George would really like that. Yeah. I'll give you his number. I'll give you... Yeah, anyway. Yes?
Why did they change the spelling of C-3PO to the letters and the numbers instead of S-E-E-T-H?
Why did they change the thing? It just looks better in certain print. If you're reading a novel, it looks better purely for that reason, I think. Also saves space. Yes, sir?
Would you do it again if you had got a chance to do more movies?
Would I do it again? Yes? Yeah. Well, we think about it. But, you see, with things like... Did any of you see the thing on Detours? Yeah. And I have been keeping that secret for months, I can tell you. You cannot believe how funny it is. Right. Another question.
R2-D2 was given to Cade Skywalker. What happened to C-3PO?
He was given what?
R2-D2 was given to Cade Skywalker.
Oh, is this in a book? Expanded Universe. I'm having enough trouble with this one. So that's all hypothetical.
So how come if C-3PO had just been on Tatooine for about a couple of days, why did Luke let him drive the land speeder?
He does drive the land speeder, doesn't he? Oh, why? Why did he let him drive his white not? He's got a license, doesn't drink, what? What's your name?
My name is Chris. I'd like to hear about some of your favorite memories and some of your least favorite memories from film and movies.
One of my favorite ones was the road to Jabba's palace, because that was the scene, the only, you know, the R2-D2 didn't speak at any point during filming. And there I am on the road to Jabba's palace, and suddenly I'm just rehearsing, And then behind me, I hear beep, 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 beep. And there is George Lucas squatting down like this, going beep, 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 beep. And he'd never ever done it before, and it was just magical. It was the only scene which R2 did actually respond. So when I see that, you know, it really is very beautiful. There were painful moments, of course, because when you, as Danny knows, working in that suit, you can have some pretty bad experiences. But there I am, everything on the right of the screen is a matte painting. And it was just joyous to see it and remember. But in that suit, you know, you can't see what's in front of you, people put obstacles, whatever. You can, it's like being a child. And things didn't always go totally smoothly. And I am willing to share with you, back on Tatooine, but sometimes in the studio, well, there we are looking at him. Lando Calrissian never returned from that awful place. But back in the studio, things could be a little dangerous sometimes, as I'm sure Mark would take great delight in pointing out to you.
This is it.
Hey, Mark.
There was a tragic scene the other day. Tragic. There's Obi-Wan Kenobi. 3PO is quietly trotting off in the distance. Now, as they're close up, and they're talking very seriously, and suddenly... who is now doing the most amazing press up on the window not to dive over the entire window. So they are looking as creepy as gold.
That is so cool. What you don't realise is that back in, as that happened, because what I rehearsed walking towards camera like that, the camera's there, got back over here, got the hat on and everything, turned around, looked at the camera, walked forward, and what they had done is put big sheets of polyboard down to blank off some of the green screen, because it was all reflecting. They admitted to tell me, assuming I could see three huge sheets of plastic here, I walked in. But worse was in Padme's sitting room, where, I think we just saw a bit of that, where I did fall out of a window like that. And Natalie and Ewan were talking together, and I did that, and suddenly, I hear, are you all right? And I thought, how nice they're concerned about me. A few days later, I was in the dubbing studio doing some work, and they ran that piece of film. And what I saw was Natalie and Ewan talking together, and they went... Oh. Are you all right? So you get actors, you just can't rely on them. But I think we have a wonderful example here, not only in this room, but on stage, in every way, of one of the most important aspects of Star Wars, the whole saga, the whole 37 yards of years. The most important thing is yourselves, the audience. Without you, I wouldn't have had a job. Without you, none of this would have happened, because it is you, you and you and you and you, who make it more than stellar lovely. And I am especially grateful to our on-stage stars here.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes.
You've done such a good job. We've got a little something for you.
Is that...
Take a look at the screens.
You see Anthony Daniels put on his C-3PO outfit. I was standing next to you and he turned back. He turned to me and said, it's like an icon here.
I was on set with C-3PO and it really took me back. I really remembered what it was like to be six or seven and watching these films and felt the excitement of being in them, you know, now.
Here's 3PO. Now it is Star Wars. Star Wars has arrived. How do you do? My name's George. I'll be your director today.
The weird thing about Trinket, of course, is for the most part, he's completely out of his element. In all the other movies, he's gone around saying,
why, it's my primary function, sir.
It's what I do. I translate. And he's had this terrible time because he's been put in fights and fires and mangled up and met all sorts of weird creatures. 3PO has been the sort of, I think, fall guy or the funny guy throughout all these movies, and humor's been a big content of the saga. I would just love to wear something that I could sit down and be comfortable in. And also to gesture in, to have free expression, to use my face, to use my hands, to use, you know, this kind of thing. But I don't, so I've had to make the most of it.
I need more emoting, I need more facial expression. I
think
I need a smile, I
want to
frown, okay?
I think the one thing that really has kept me down is a tremendous affection for the character. For a character who's just benign, delightful, weird,
typical,
sad, lonely. I think we'd all be glad to learn.
Come on, Artu, we're going.
As we say goodbye to my fellow actors, thank you not only for today, but thank you for the last 37 years of my life. Thank you.